And we are back for another 3 hours of conversation about what's going on across the Southeast. I'm John Rawl, and welcome into the Y'all Show on this Tuesday across Dixie. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we've got a couple of ways to do that. We've got our text line that is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can text us at 615-208-4184. You can also email us, and we're checking that inbox all the time for your feedback. Mail, M-A-I-L, at YALL.com. Mail at y'all.com. That's the way to reach out and connect with the show that shakes the Southland. On this Tuesday edition, we've got headlines from across the Southeast that we'll be getting to, including a tragic story out of Texas today. It involves the death of a pregnant woman and her unborn child, their truck hit by an alligator, and it caused their death. I'll tell you more about that tragic story. Also, an update on that horrible shooting from Birmingham last week at a fire station. And we've got sad news as a result of that shooting from last week, where two firefighters last week shot in their fire station. Unfortunately, one of those has succumbed to their injuries. We'll fill you in on the story out of Birmingham. Also, Birmingham native Charles Barkley, he's got something to say about rednecks. I'll tell you what Sir Charles, the round mound of rebound, is out saying today. Plus, more tragedy on the boatways of the Southeast. A pair of brothers in Kentucky killed in a jet ski collision. We'll tell you about that story. Also, a follow-up on a tragedy from several years ago and a story that got a lot of attention this last year. The death of Mallory Beach in Beaufort, South Carolina. She was the young lady that was thrown out of the boat that the Murdoch Buster, no, was it the redheaded, well, I guess they're all redheaded, the Murdoch's son that ended up being murdered by his father. He was driving that boat several years ago, and the young lady was thrown out and died. A settlement reached with the gas station that sold the beer to the underage folks there in South Carolina. A $15 million wrongful death lawsuit reached. We'll fill you in on that from South Carolina. Also, the governor of Texas and others are being sued over a TikTok ban. What's going on in the state of Texas? We'll fill you in on those details in our headlines today across the Southeast. Plus, it is SEC Media Days going on this week in Nashville, and we're going to go straight to the podium, where Monday, the quarterback of the LSU Tigers, Jaden Daniels, was up answering questions. We're going to hear from the Bayou Bengals signal caller in this opening hour of the Y'all Show. As we move on today in our final hour, we're going to hear from a couple of coaches that were at the podium Monday. We'll hear from Eli Drinkwitz of the Missouri Tigers, as well as the head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies, Jimbo Fisher. All that coming up on today's Y'all Show, a recap of SEC Media Days, plus we'll also have the thoughts on what to expect for day two of SEC Media Days. We've got other college football news, including the Texas-Oklahoma rivalry. It's getting rebranded this year there when they get together in Dallas in mid-October. We'll fill you in on that story, plus a big story for a former Clemson football player who's been quite the proficient wide receiver in the NFL, as Mr. Hopkins now looks like it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins, a Tennessee Titan. We'll fill you in on the details that we know of Mr. Hopkins, the Clemson, South Carolina native. Now it looks like finding a new NFL team. We'll have all that in our sports coverage today. We also have in this opening hour of Y'all, the Southern Political Report. And Monday, West Virginia's own U.S. Senator Joe Manchin was in New Hampshire. Why was he there? We'll let you know. We'll fill you in on the details. As far as we can tell, is he looking at a third-party run, Joe Manchin? We'll discuss that in our Southern Political Report. While he's contemplating running, a guy who's been running for several months now and is not having the best of times running, Ron DeSantis, stories now coming out that he's cutting back on his staff. Things are not going so well for Ron DeSantis, and we'll fill you in on the details out of the Sunshine State on his bid to be a presidential candidate for the Republican Party. All that in our Southern Political Report coming to you here in this opening hour. In hours two today, we've got our Southern Book Report, and included in that, we'll walk through the top booksellers on the New York Times bestsellers list, But one of those books that's showing up this week, a Fox News Channel person, Johnny Joey Jones out of Dalton, Georgia, the guy that served in the military, and we thank him for his service. You've probably seen him on Fox. He's the guy up there that's got the great Southern accent, but both of his legs were blown off in Afghanistan. And Johnny Joey Jones has written a new book called Unbroken Bonds of Battle. We'll let you know a little bit more about the book, and we've got audio of Jones talking about his new book and a little bit more about his life. The Georgia native Joey Jones will be part of our Southern Book Report, so make sure you tune in hour two for that. And hour two, also, we've got entertainment headlines. We got a bunch of entertainment stories to pass along, including news on George Clooney. Can you believe that Lindsay Lohan is now a mother? I'll let you know about that. Then a lot of country music news. Miranda Lambert goes off on some fans at a concert over the weekend. Jason Aldean says he's doing better after having a little bit of a heat stroke in Connecticut over the weekend. Oh, and by the way, some big news for Taylor Swift. All that in our entertainment headlines coming up in hour number two. Our final hour today, we got one heck of a show. This might be one you need to save for the museum. In our third hour today, we've got the Takapola Storyteller coming by, and we're going to talk to Jerry Short, Mr. Storyteller himself, about Joe Manchin and his quest to possibly run for president. Is that a good thing? And is that going to be something that ends up helping a Donald Trump presidency? All of that will be discussed with our Takapola Storyteller in hour three. Plus, in hour three, we've got that audio coming in from Nashville from Monday, where we will hear the head coaches of the Missouri Tigers and also of A&M. We'll hear Eli Drinkwitz and Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M from day one of the SEC Media Days and give you what to expect here on day two from Lower Broadway, Nashville, where the SEC Media Days is going on. All that right here on the Y'all Show. That is a pretty active show, and that is a show with lots of variety and a lot of work that has gone into today's show. So let's not hold back. Let's get right into the headlines of today's Y'all Show. And we start again with a tragic story out of Texas. This is in Refugio County in Texas, where a woman and her unborn child have died after a truck hit an alligator on a Texas highway and then rolled over, according to authorities. The sheriff's office there in that portion of Texas said they responded to a rollover on a state highway north of Corpus Christi. And according to authorities, this alligator was in the middle of the road when it was struck by the truck. The truck appeared to have rolled over a fence before coming to rest yards from the roadway. Two adults and three children were involved in the rollover, transported to nearby hospitals. Unfortunately, Gabrielle Bro of Louisiana died at an area hospital, and Bro was pregnant, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. Four others involved in the crash are expected to survive. But sure enough, right there outside of Corpus Christi on what probably was a beautiful Sunday morning, an alligator right in the middle of the road being struck by this car and caused this horrible, horrible tragedy where the woman from Louisiana, Miss Bro, dies. And a reminder, you just got to be careful out there, especially in places where this woman was from Louisiana, and they have alligators all over Louisiana. So I'm not making excuses. I don't know who was driving this car, but I can feel for people who aren't used to being in areas where alligators are. I just recently went to an alligator infested area, and I had to remind myself, hey, you wouldn't want to get out of the car right now and go walk by the water. You could get attacked by a gator. Luckily, I didn't get anywhere close to water. But this woman, this pregnant woman, dying after her truck hits an alligator in Texas over the weekend. Sad, sad story there. Also, an update on another tragic situation. Last week, two Birmingham firefighters on duty had a man come in and shoot them both while they were on the job at the Norwood area fire station in Birmingham. And sadly, on Monday, one of those firefighters, Jordan Melton, was pronounced dead. He was 28 years old and had only been a Birmingham firefighter for a few weeks. The captain of Orlando of Birmingham Department, Orlando Reynolds, announcing Monday evening that Birmingham Fire and Rescue mourns the loss of firefighter Jordan Melton. Also shot last week, Jamal Jones. He is recovering. We absolutely hope he can get past this. But a tragic day. The mayor of Birmingham, Mayor Randall Woodfin, putting out a statement saying, "My heart is hurting today. It devastates me to share that we've lost our own firefighter, Jordan Melton," and goes on to celebrate the man, Jordan Melton. Again, a firefighter killed in the line of duty by a person that came into the fire station there at 1228 27th Street North in Birmingham, where the firefighters on duty got shot last Wednesday morning at 8:30 in the morning. Still investigating how this could have happened. It looks like it was a targeted attack, according to authorities. That's the early indications. Not sure why. In Birmingham, a $15,000 reward now being offered for information leading to a suspect or suspects in this death. The death of this Birmingham firefighter marks Birmingham's 77th homicide in 2023. Still no arrest at all, by the way. If you've got any kind of information on this tragic shooting and now homicide, you can call Crime Stoppers in the Birmingham area, 205-254-7777. Again, we remember the life of this fallen firefighter with the Birmingham Fire and Rescue Service, firefighter Jordan Melton, who died on Monday. A gentleman that grew up right there outside of Birmingham, Charles Barkley, he's now talking, as he always does. He's talking trash, as he usually does. And over the weekend, Barkley sent a strong message to those out there boycotting Bud Light. In a video put up on TikTok, Barkley, at a California bar where he bought a round of drinks before being presented a PSA in only a way Charles Barkley could, he said, "Hey, let me tell you something. All you rednecks are a-holes," except he didn't say that. And he says, "All you rednecks are a-holes who don't want to drink Bud Light. Blank y'all. Hey, y'all can't cancel me." Uh-oh. Charles Barkley stepping into it here, calling everybody boycotting Bud Light a-holes and that people can't cancel Charles Barkley. Well, guess what? I bet you a lot of Bud Light drinkers don't really keep up with Charles Barkley because you know what? They probably don't keep up with the NBA. He went on to say, "Hey, I ain't worried about getting canceled because let me tell you something. If y'all fire me and give me all that money, I'm going to be playing golf every blank day. So listen, as I said last night, if you're gay, God bless you. If you're trans, God bless you. And if you have a problem with them," and an expletive, he says, you, Barkley put out there. It looks like Barkley had been a little bit under the influence of a few of those Bud Lights. And yes, this guy loves to run his mouth. Bud Light in the news the last few months after conservative figures and others have called for a boycott of the beer after a transgender influencer, Dylan Mulvaney, cracked open a Bud Light in an Instagram video as part of a promotional contest for Bud Light, and the sales of Bud Light have plummeted since then. Bud Light no longer the number one beer in the country, and they're really struggling there at Budweiser trying to come up with a campaign to get past this. Is the Charles Barkley running his mouth a good thing for Bud Light? I can't imagine it is. I don't know if Charles Barkley is a Bud Light spokesperson of some type himself. And I only say that because, gosh, Barkley, just like Shaquille O'Neal, it looks like they've got about 1,000 different things they sponsor. So beats me if he's sponsoring Bud Light. If not, they need to sign him up. Because I think he could at least sell a beer or two more than Dylan Mulvaney. Another tragic story to get to here on today's Y'all Show. A pair of brothers are now dead after a boating accident on Lake Cumberland in Kentucky. This happened in Pulaski County, Kentucky. The coroner there says a boat and a jet ski collided on Lake Cumberland. This was in western Kentucky. And this happened just south of the Woodson Bend Resort boat dock in Bronston, Kentucky. The victims were a pair of brothers from Kenton County, Kentucky. an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old. They were both on a jet ski when this tragedy happened on Lake Cumberland. What an awful thing to report. And we know that boat accidents happen nonstop, but a pair of brothers, 18 and 14, killed while out having a good time on this Kentucky lake. A real, real tragedy. A tragedy from several years back, 2019. That's the year that the tragedy happened in Beaufort County, South Carolina, where young Mallory Beach was killed. And she was in a boat being driven by an underage driver, Paul Murdoch, the son of the convicted killer, Alec Murdoch. And remember, it was Paul who Alec Murdoch killed and his mother slash Alec Murdoch's wife killed at their hunting place there in Colleton County, South Carolina in 2020, I believe it was, or 2021. It might have been 21. And now an update from the Low Country of South Carolina. The company that sold the underage kids beer has settled with the family of Mallory Beach $15 million settlement in a wrongful death lawsuit. As surveillance video shows Paul Murdoch buying alcohol with his brother in that convenience store outside of Beaufort, South Carolina. And this settlement now happened. This was part of the whole, you could say, buildup to the unfortunate tragedy that led to the deaths of Paul Murdoch. They called him Paul Paul, and his mother as well. And this was all brought out in this whole Alec Murdoch murder case from earlier this year. The attorneys for the gas station put a statement out that included the statement, "It's a disappointing that the contents of settlement discussions have been disclosed today, counter to the mediation agreement that was signed by all who participated." The Beach family attorney, and I believe he's the one that went on trial in the Alec Murdoch case, because he was trying to work this case and it really spooked Alec Murdoch. And these guys knew each other. They were all trial attorneys, essentially in the same area of South Carolina. And that guy was good. I can't remember his name right now, but he was a good, good attorney there. Some of the attorneys for the Beach family included Tabor Vaux. Tabor Vaux, one of the attorneys, but I'm not sure if he's the one I'm trying to think of. The one I was trying to think of, I think, lived in Barnwell, South Carolina, I think. Somewhere, or Bamberg, maybe it was Bamberg. Anyway, this case ties into the Alec Murdoch murder case and another unfortunate part of that horrible, horrible tragedy that so many people kept up with earlier this year when it was ongoing in the Low Country of South Carolina. We've got more news headlines that we'll be catching up with as we move on today's show. But let's take a break here and come back and catch you up with the sports headlines as SEC Media Days, for the very first time, has moved out of Birmingham. It's moved out of Atlanta, where it's been held a few times. And this year, they are hosting Media Days for the Southeastern Conference in the hometown of one Vanderbilt University, as Nashville and Lower Broadway are cutting a new tune with the SEC Media Days. And I think from all indications after day one, it's going real well in Nashville. And when we come back, we're going to let you hear from the quarterback of the LSU Tigers, your defending SEC West champion, Bayou Bengal Tigers of Baton Rouge, Jaden Daniels, at the mic on Monday. We've got audio from him. We'll let you hear audio from coaches Drinkwitz and Fisher of Texas A&M and Missouri, respectively. We'll let you hear those coaches and their discussion at SEC Media Days when we get to our final hour today. But we'll give you a little bit of information on a player's perspective as Jaden Daniels. We'll hear from him when we come back, and a little bit more sports happenings across the Southeast on this, the Y'all Show. Again, if you want to get involved with our program, it's easy to do so. Just drop us an email, mail, M-A-I-L, at y'all.com. And this, the Y'all Show, we'll be right back.
Thank you. GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
All right, kick it off, fellas. Oh, yeah, the Golden Band from Tigerland set the stage for a little LSU talk. Welcome back in. It is the Y'all Show and our Southern Sports Spotlight, as LSU was one of three teams at the microphone Monday in Nashville for day one of the 2023 SEC Football Media Days. And the quarterback of LSU, the returning defending champion of the SEC West, Jaden Daniels, was at the mic on Monday, and let's go in and hear what this young man had to say, looking all dapper there in front of the big crowd in Lower Broadway on Nashville in Music City. And here is Mr. Daniels answering questions from the media. And wow, what a talent. And LSU, could they be back in Atlanta this year in that championship game? I think so. And you know what? I think this year they're going to have a much better team and may just be able to knock off whoever they got to face from that eastern side, if they do make it back to the 404. Here is Jaden Daniels, quarterback of the Bayou Bengals.
LSU is special to me. Like you said, the fan base and everything. Just the state of Louisiana, they took me as one of their own. I kind of feel like I'm from Louisiana now in a way, even though I'm from California, I'm from the West Coast. Like I said, they took me in as their own, treated me, respected me. And just the transition coming from the Arizona State to LSU, it's night and day. Just what the fans exemplify, the energy that they bring each and every week to our games and how much they care about us and care about LSU football is second to none.
Like you said, you're a West Coast guy from Pac-12 country. What do you think on the field is the biggest difference in terms of the competition level, what you see every week? And in your opinion, what are the biggest factors that go into being a successful quarterback in the SEC?
The biggest thing I see, the difference from Pac-12 to SEC, is the big boys up front, you know, with the O-line and how big they are. And then you got guys like, for example, Mason Smith has a humongous human being that can move like that. So, you know, you're playing against those guys each and every week. And I say, just to be a successful SEC quarterback, you got to go in there and just really prepare like a pro. If not, you know, you might get exposed in this league because there's some great players out there playing against you.
All right, that again is the main signal caller from a player's perspective for LSU, Jaden Daniels, the Arizona State transfer into Baton Rouge, and he talked there in that clip about coming from the West Coast to being a SEC guy, and he's made it sound like he fits right in. Hey, Jaden Daniels, yeah, you're fitting right in, son, and kudos for that. I know he's excited. Brian Kelly joined Daniels and other players for LSU at the podium on Monday. Also Monday, you had Missouri at the mic and Texas A&M. In hour three today, we will let you hear from the head coaches of Mizzou, Eli Drinkwitz, and Texas A&M, one Jimbo Fisher, and get thoughts that they had Monday at SEC Media Days. Now, on this Tuesday, it's day two of SEC Media Days, and among the teams featured today, Vanderbilt, you also have Georgia, Auburn, and Mississippi State. So today is a foursome of teams, and we will have some complete coverage of who all said what on Wednesday's Y'all Show, a recap of day two will be forthcoming on our Wednesday show. But today we're focusing more on what happened Monday, and it ought to be some good stuff. We will give you in hour three today a preview of what to expect and on day two, courtesy of Craig Stevenson of AL.com. So that's coming up, more coverage of day two in our final hour of today's Y'all Show. Let's take you to some other college football news from the Big 12 regarding two teams that will be SEC newcomers in 2024. The 119th Texas-Oklahoma game is going to have a familiar name with a new sponsor this year. It's going to be called the All-State Red River Rivalry. For a long time, this was known as the Red River Shootout, but it's gone through some changes and some wokeness and more. But the Red River Rivalry coming back with All-State as a sponsor in 2023. This will be the last time these two teams get together as members of the Big 12 this year. And wow, what a great thing that this is going to be having a familiar name. OU had claimed three straight Red River wins prior to Texas dominating the Sooners 49-0 last year. And what a horrible, horrible start for Brent Venables and Norman last year. The Longhorns actually lead this series 63-50-5. But OU has just dominated Texas for the most part in this series and in Big 12 play. And last year, a perfect example of just how horrible Oklahoma was. I mean, when you get beat 49-0, then something's not right. This year's game, the Red River Rivalry game, will be October 7th on ABC. The kickoff time has not yet been set. This is usually a high noon kickoff Dallas time. Remember, they play this in the old Cotton Bowl right outside the fairgrounds in Big D. And one of the great traditions in college football, the Red River Rivalry, coming back with that name in 2023. Now to some NFL news, and let's tell you about the pride of Clemson. Literally born in Clemson back in 1992. He went to high school in Clemson. He went to college at Clemson. How about DeAndre Rashawn Hopkins? It looks like D-Hop has a new team in the NFL. It's going to be the Tennessee Titans. Hopkins got his NFL career going back in 2013 for the Houston Texans before moving on after a couple of years. He was with the Arizona Cardinals most recently, playing with the Cards for 3 years, a three-time first-team All-Pro, and has been a very, very good wide receiver in the NFL. The unfortunate thing for DeAndre Hopkins is that he played at Clemson before they started winning national championships. A very good player, but unfortunately, the greatness of Clemson came truly after he left Clemson. But he helped build the program with Dabo Swinney for sure. And Clemson, with so many great players through the year, he's one of them. Just doesn't have a natty to go along with his success as an NFL player. But he is a Clemson, like I said, hometown kid, DeAndre Hopkins. And according to reports out of Music City, the Titans are expected to sign him to a 2-year deal that could be up to worth $15 million in the first year. Supposed to be completed over the next few days, according to NFL insiders. The 31-year-old with 10 years of experience in the NFL now out on Twitter. In fact, he put a tweet out over the weekend saying, "I always loved having haters and doubters, but I appreciate it even more now. Tighten up." That was the tweet. So I don't think you got to be a scientist to figure out, especially when he had a picture of him and Titans running back Derrick Henry together, and they put that out over the weekend too. So looks like the two-tone blue of Music City will have a guy from Clemson, South Carolina, suiting up. And that's a good move for the Titans. Remember, Tennessee let go a really, really good player in the wide receiver position the year before, with A.J. Brown moving on from the Titans to the Eagles, and really helped that franchise out getting to the Super Bowl in his first year in Philly. I'm sure Jalen Hurts had a whole lot to do with that success, but A.J. Brown, the former Mississippi Rebel, Black Bear Shark, is a very good wide receiver. And his decision to take off for the bright lights of Philly hurt the Tennessee Titans, which were the best team in the NFL during his final season in Nashville in 2021. The best team, at least in the AFC and maybe in all of the NFL. Then they lose that playoff game to the Bengals. And in 2022, they didn't even make the playoffs. So the Titans getting proactive now, it looks like, bringing in an established player that should help them in a big way. So we will keep you posted on all of the development out of Nashville with the NFL franchise Titans there. And that is a look at some of our Southern sports news here for this Tuesday on the show that shakes up everything Southern sports. When we come back on Y'all, we're going to scoot over and give you our Southern political report for the week. Joe Manchin of West Virginia, he was in New Hampshire on Monday. What was he doing there? Plus, the Florida governor now having to trim back, and I'm not talking about his weight. We're talking about his staff. What's up with Ron DeSantis? Are things really spiraling out of control for the DeSantis 2024 campaign? We'll fill you in next. We want to hear you here at Supertalk 93.1 on shows like The Y'all Show, The Patriot Pastor, and The Frankie Lack Show. We've got a text line that you can text us and participate in the program. That number, 731-410-7560. And the Supertalk 93.1 text line is powered by See Me Tree Service. They are a West Tennessee-based company, and they will help you with any of your tree removal problems, tree trimming, tree elevation, pruning, tree topping, stump grinding, and more. They're a small family-owned business that's licensed and insured, and you can call See Me Tree Service for a free estimate. Call them at 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service. For all of your tree removal or tree issues going on, give them a call for that free estimate. 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service, powering the Supertalk 93.1 text line.
Darling, I've been standing here just watching you all night. And I think I've even caught you watching me a couple times. If I don't ask, I'll never know. This may sound dumb, but here we go. Do you believe in love at first sight? Me neither. I'm glad that we agree, believe me. That's a big relief. Well, this place is awful crowded and this music is so loud. Would you like to go and grab a bite to eat? Me neither.
And that fellow there from the mountain state of West Virginia, that would be Brad Paisley, and we're going to talk about a West Virginian in a big way now. This is our Southern political report for this Tuesday. John Rawl back here with you on the show, all about the South, from our news and sports to our politics. We talk about food and more here on the show, delivered by y'all.com, the South's homepage. Go check that out when you get a chance, y'all. So let's fill you in on Joe Manchin. He is your U.S. Senator from West Virginia. I think he's the senior senator, as Capito is the other senator from West Virginia. And I'm pretty sure Joe Manchin's been in office longer than she has. So we'll go ahead and coronate him the senior senator of West Virginia, the Democrat. Monday, he found himself not in West Virginia, but he was in New Hampshire. What's Joe Manchin, who has not announced that he's running for president as a Democrat, which is his party, why would he be hanging out in a place like New Hampshire? Well, here on the Y'all Show, we're going to dive into exactly what this whole scenario is and why he would be going there speaking at a group that's looking to have a third-party presidential ticket in 2024. This is a group called No Labels, and they're trying to launch a new common sense platform on immigration, health care, gun control, the economy, and other issues. And Monday, Joe Manchin, appeared with this group in New Hampshire. Is he really seriously thinking about running for president in 2024? And if so, what exactly would this mean? What would this look like, frankly, to have this guy running for president? Would it deliver a victory to Joe Biden? Would it help give a victory to a guy like Donald J. Trump? That's what a lot of people think. If a third-party candidate like a Joe Manchin jumps in there, it only makes it easier for the Trumps of the world. That's the general consensus, at least. CNN's got an article out about this decision by Manchin to go up there. He was joined in New Hampshire by the former governor of Utah. And that would be Huntsman, who also worked in the Trump administration as an ambassador of some type. I forget. It might have been to Japan. He might have been ambassador too. But Manchin, who's facing re-election to the Senate in West Virginia next year, who hasn't yet announced that he'll be seeking re-election. Remember, the current governor of West Virginia, Governor Justice, has already said he's going to run for governor, or rather for U.S. Senator. And I think he'll win. I really do. West Virginia is a very red state. And how in the world they've got a Democrat still, and Joe Manchin is a little bit head-scratching. However, he's a likable guy and kind of a cult hero in West Virginia. And so, therefore, the former governor in Manchin has been able to hold on his seat all these years. I would assume he's been senator. This would be his third term if he were to be elected. I think he likely was elected senator two terms back. So that'd been 12 years ago. So we're looking at like 2012. That sounds about right. So No Labels says it is considering a third-party unity ticket with a Republican and a Democrat representing the lead and the vice president in their 2024 race. They're trying to have what they call an insurance plan. And that's why in their perfect world, someone like a Governor Huntsman and a Senator Manchin together could possibly win the presidency. Joe Manchin, again, in New Hampshire. And I saw one quote from him saying, essentially, sounded pretty cocky, if I decide to run for president, I'm going to win. I'm paraphrasing, but Manchin's not holding back. Maybe, just maybe, he really does want to be president as opposed to a U.S. senator. News Nation, they do a good job covering politics and more. They were on hand for the No Labels third-party ticket presser that was held in New Hampshire on Monday, and I'm going to play you a little clip from their report on Joe Manchin being in New Hampshire and, frankly, what residents of New Hampshire have to say about the third-party candidacy of someone like a Joe Manchin entering the race in 2024. Here's this report from News Nation from their YouTube channel.
I wish there was more options. I wish it wasn't a two-party system that we have come to know.
Ryan Garrigus is like many undecided voters. He's neither a fan of President Biden nor of former President Trump, and is hoping he won't have to vote for either of them in 2024. Enter West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, making headlines today in New Hampshire, a state for being a rite of passage for presidential hopefuls. Speaking for the No Labels group, Manchin is not officially in the race, but there are rumblings he might consider getting in and running as a third-party candidate with the group.
We polled New Hampshire voters. They believe that if the two candidates in 2020 are the two nominees for 2024, that the system is broken.
Neil Levesque of the New Hampshire Institute of Politics says there's an unusually large appetite for a third-party option to emerge. And our own Decision Desk HQ polling shows the same, with nearly half of respondents saying they are somewhat or very likely to vote third-party if it's a Biden-Trump rematch in 2024. The rest say not very likely or not likely at all.
The White House should be worried about any third party or any Democrat that potentially is saying we're not happy with the incumbent. That's a concern if you're running for re-election as the president of the United States.
Third party candidates have seen support in recent elections and conceivably played a role in deciding outcomes. Both Arizona and Georgia were decided by 10 to 12,000 votes in 2020, but the Libertarian candidate, Joe Jorgensen, picked up five times that in each. In 2016, former President Donald Trump carried the states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin by a combined near 78,000 votes. Third-party candidates Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, meanwhile, notched more than 500,000 votes between them in the same states. Levesque thinks a third-party candidate can do more than spoil in 2024 and might even be able to score some wins in the Electoral College.
If there ever was a time, it would probably be now, because people are fed up with the two parties.
All right, so how about that report from News Nation? They're making it sound like a third party could really be something viable here in 2023. Our friend Jerry Short, the Takapola storyteller, is going to be joining me in the final hour today, hour three, and we're going to talk to him about this decision for Joe Manchin to go to West Virginia Monday, and we'll get the Takapola storyteller's thoughts on a third party run. Is that feasible? Could someone like a Joe Manchin actually win? We'll have all that. More political talk coming on this Tuesday, y'all, show. Let's give you an update on some other headlines for the 2024 race. How about the Ron DeSantis campaign? Things are not going well with it. From the disastrous launch on Twitter with Elon Musk 6 weeks back when that happened. And now the campaign has burnt through so much money that they're doing something about it. FEC filings show that the DeSantis campaign brought in nearly $20 million this past quarter, but has already gone through $8 million of that. And it looks like the campaign has already gotten rid of a dozen members of its campaign staff, doing that over the weekend. Many of the campaign's top dollar donors have maxed out on what they can give until the general election already. Ron DeSantis is not doing well. Is he going to go ahead and bow out now to try to save face? What I don't want to happen is, I think for a lot of conservatives out there, Ron DeSantis is a good choice for president. Perhaps Donald Trump deserves that shot first. But what if Trump doesn't quite make it because of legal problems, because of health problems, whatever the case? You don't want to get stuck if you're a conservative having Trump get out of it for whatever reason. And then a Ron DeSantis has already had to leave because of financial problems. Do you really want one of these other people that have just been able to hang on because they've been able to hang on? I don't want that. So I'm hoping Ron DeSantis gets smart about his money and learns how to manage a sputtering campaign, as it appears he's got underway right now. We wish him the best. DeSantis 2024 is not looking good, but it can still be fixed. And again, he's a, for a conservative standpoint, a very good option if Trump can't quite get there, if the Trumpers fail to get the big guy to the finish line and get him on the general ballot in November of 2024. Speaking of the big guy, the Georgia Supreme Court on Monday dismissed the bid of President Trump to shut down a probe in Fulton County. The Fulton County criminal probe, a court, the Georgia Supreme Court dismissing this legal bid that the president and his legal team had asked for as they were trying to shut down the Fulton County criminal probe into his attempts to overturn the 2020 election defeat in Georgia. A five-page opinion from the Supreme Court of Georgia said that Trump hadn't demonstrated the, quote, extraordinary circumstances that would require their intervention at this time. Trump had asked them to throw out the wide array of evidence collected so far in the Fulton County investigation and to block state prosecutors from ever using that material in any future criminal or civil proceedings. That decision by the Georgia Supreme Court was unanimous. And eight of the nine members of that Georgia Supreme Court were appointed by Republican governors from the Peach State. So more legal problems, and that Fulton County probe is likely going to be a major, major issue for President Trump going forward, and certainly before the 2024 election actually happens. We will keep up with that story as it progresses. And that will wrap up our first hour of y'all talking about everything Southern here on the program that is the South's talk show. We've got two more hours of Southern greatness coming your way. Hour two, we've got Joey Jones, the Fox News Channel guy. He's written a book called Unbroken Bonds of Battle. We'll hear the North Georgian talking about that book as part of our Southern Book Report. Plus, we've got entertainment news and more coming up, so don't miss out. Another hour of our discussion about what goes on in the South is here. Hello, John Rawl, the general of all things Southern here on what we call the Y'all Show. This is where we combine all the gossip, all the food talk, all the travel, all the cultural stuff, and all the news and sports headlines and entertainment headlines and just about everything you could imagine. We put it all in one happy place. If you got a little drawl in your lifestyle, then this is the home. There's no other show like this one, the Y'all Show. And if you are a Southerner at heart, well, we certainly welcome you into our program. And you can learn a whole lot about the South, which we think is the best slice of America. And America's the best place on earth. So, yeah, we're the best of the best. And this show accentuates that. We're the Y'all Show. Thank you for tuning us in. Our program is delivered by y'all.com, the South's homepage. Go there and check out some great, great stories about this region. And you will absolutely love them and you'll share them. I am confident of that. You can get involved with our show. You have an email address. If you've got a pen close by, go ahead and grab it and write this down. Mail, M-A-I-L, mail at y'all.com. That's how you can drop us a note anytime you're able to. We want to hear from you here on this show that is unlike any other. And it is a privilege to sit here each and every day on radio stations across the Southeast and tell you about the South. And for all of you who catch us in podcast form, we want to thank you for tuning us in. A reminder, the Y'all Show is available absolutely free of charge in various podcast options. Spotify, we're on the TuneIn app, the iHeartRadio app. We're also available in Apple Podcast and Apple iTunes. And to find us, you just simply search within those apps, Y'all Show, and you'll see our beautiful red and black logo. And if you would do us a favor and subscribe, it's absolutely free. And this show, each and every day that it is produced, will automatically come to your favorite podcast platform. And it shows up like an email would show up on your iPhone or smartphone with a little circle and a number letting you know you got a new episode to listen to. And it's a really neat way to keep up with what's going on across the Southeast with our Y'all Show podcast. So thank you, everybody out there who tunes in via podcast each and every day. On this second hour of the Y'all Show today, we've got coming up in a few minutes our Southern Book Report. We're going to walk through some of the bestsellers in the land, according to the New York Times. And in that mix, making its debut in the top five of the nonfiction category, Johnny Joey Jones and Unbroken Bonds of Battle. Now, he goes by Joey Jones primarily on Fox News Channel, but this is the young man out of Northwest Georgia. His hometown is Dalton. And he's been on Fox News Channel for a number of years, usually on the weekends. But you're starting to see more and more of him. And perhaps now that he's got a book out, you're going to see a lot more of Joey Jones. He is the Afghanistan war veteran that had his legs amputated. And we love his accent. We love what he has to say. And now he's putting pen to paper and got Unbroken Bonds of Battle out. We've got an interview that he recently did with a Chattanooga TV station. Of course, Dalton and Chattanooga are just a handful of miles apart. It's in the Chattanooga television market, Dalton, Georgia is. And it's a great interview that we'll play a clip of that as part of our Southern Book Report coming up this hour. Also this hour, more entertainment news and notes. We've got our entertainment report coming up. News on Northern Kentucky's George Clooney. We also will tell you about a new baby mama. She's got a baby, and I never thought that would happen. Lindsay Lohan. She did it. She actually, I believe we could put a man on the moon now after Lindsay Lohan successfully given birth. Next thing you're going to tell me is Britney Spears is going to start walking a straight line. Lord help us. All that's part of our entertainment headlines, and we got a few music people making some headlines. Jason Aldean, we'll give you an update from him as he had a heat stroke over the weekend. Seems to be on the mend. Miranda Lambert went off on some fans at a concert she had over the weekend. Plus, we will let you know about some Taylor Swift news, some big news for the Yankee/Tennessean/California. All in our entertainment headlines of this hour, and that is coming up. And a friendly reminder, please keep listening to our entire show. Hour three today, the Takapola Storyteller returns, and he's got little political news, some hot political news that he's going to weigh in on, as both Jerry and I will share our thoughts on Joe Manchin, at least playing footsie with potentially jumping into the 2024 presidential race. The West Virginia U.S. Senator in New Hampshire making a political appearance on Monday. What is that all about? We'll weigh in with our thoughts in the final hour, plus more from Nashville and the SEC Media Days coverage of that. We'll have audio from the head coaches of Missouri, Eli Drinkwitz, and the head coach of the Aggies of Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. That coach's audio coming in our final hour of the Y'all Show. Let's dive into news headlines here for this hour of the Y'all Show. And we start off with a tragic story out of Birmingham. We told you last week about how someone walked into a Birmingham area fire station and opened fire in what looked like a targeted attack on some Birmingham firefighters. Two of them were shot in this incident from the middle of last week on a bright, beautiful morning. Someone walked into the Norwood fire station and shot firefighters Jordan Melton and another firefighter with the Birmingham Fire and Rescue Department, Jamal Jones. Sadly, Monday evening, Jordan Melton passed away. The firefighter had only been working a short time with the Birmingham Fire and Rescue. He was pronounced dead at the age of 28. Fire Chief Corey Moon said, "I'm absolutely heartbroken by this senseless and tragic act of gun violence against our brothers." Jamal Jones is still recovering from his gunshot. The mayor of Birmingham, in a statement, said that his heart is hurting, and it devastates me to share that we've lost our own firefighter, Jordan Melton. But before I talk about Jordan, the public servant, I want to talk about Jordan, the man, and celebrate Jordan, the man. Jordan was the vibrant young brother who was full of life. He loved to talk sports as much as he loved good barbecue. He had a brilliant mind for business, but he always was down to lighten the mood with a joke or two. He was also a wonderful son to his mother, who has been his rock in these difficult past few days. Just on the job about a month, this 28-year-old Birmingham Fire and Rescue Service member, firefighter Jordan Melton, dying Monday, 5 days after an on-duty shooting inside his own fire station. The shooter still at large. Birmingham police and other authorities searching for a suspect. They believe this was a targeted attack. And if you have any information, you can call Crime Stoppers in the Birmingham area, 205-254-7777, 205-254-7777. 7777, a $15,000 reward currently being offered for any kind of information that leads to the suspect or suspects in this death. No arrests have yet to be made in this tragic case. A tragic story coming from Kentucky. A pair of brothers out on jet skis collided on Lake Cumberland in western Kentucky. And this happened just south of the Woodson Bend Resort boat dock near Bronston, Kentucky. That's in Pulaski County in western Kentucky. A boat and a jet ski colliding. Victims were 18 and 14-year-old brothers from Kenton County, Kentucky, who were on a jet ski, and this jet ski again colliding with a boat. And both victims, who were wearing life jackets, were killed. Authorities think that alcohol was not a factor in the incident, but it is a tragic, tragic reminder just how fragile life can be. And here we have two brothers, right at the start of their lives, 18 and 14 years old, dying on a jet ski on this lake in Kentucky. An update out of the Lowcountry of South Carolina. This ties into the Alec Murdaugh case, the convicted killer Murdaugh, who's currently in jail outside of Columbia, South Carolina, convicted of killing his wife and his young son, Paul Murdaugh. Paul Murdaugh was the driver of a boat back in 2019 that wrecked right outside of Beaufort in the Lowcountry of South Carolina. That boat wreck caused the death of a young lady named Mallory Beach. And that death of Beach really started a tailspin for the Murdaugh family. On Monday, the corporation that owned the gas station that sold beer to the underage Paul Murdaugh settled with the Mallory Beach family for $15 million in a wrongful death lawsuit. Investigators say that surveillance video shows Paul Murdaugh buying alcohol with his brother Buster's license the night of the crash at this convenience store near Beaufort, South Carolina. An attorney for Mallory Beach's family, Tabor Vaux, says other occupants on the boat also settled claims against Parker's. The trial for the civil case was supposed to go to trial August 14th. That's now been canceled. And we saw in the Alec Murdaugh case earlier this year that was held in Colleton County, South Carolina. This was a completely different thing, but it kind of tied in to the downfall, as we said, of Alec Murdaugh. That young son, Paul, and his decision to skipper this boat while drunk, and there was video footage of him loading up people in this boat when people were telling him not to drive. He was too drunk, and he still drove that boat. And then they crash into a bridge, and this young lady, this beautiful young lady, South Carolina lady from Hampton, South Carolina, Mallory Beach, killed in that 2019 boat wreck. I think there's still some legal issues between the Beach family and the Murdaugh family. I think that's still ongoing, but from a gas station perspective, this corporation Parker's settling with the Mallory Beach family. $15 million wrongful death lawsuit settled. The governor of Texas has been sued, as a free speech group in the Lone Star State has sued Greg Abbott and others over the state of Texas's TikTok ban on official devices. Just the other day, I told you how Clemson University in South Carolina recently came out with a TikTok ban. I did not realize that Governor Greg Abbott in Texas had a similar ban already in place. This First Amendment group suing Governor Abbott and others over the state's ban on the official devices, arguing the prohibition, which extends to public universities, is unconstitutional and impedes academic freedom. This was filed by the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, which is a free speech group that's suing on behalf of a coalition of academics and researchers who study technology's impact on society. I wonder if the Chinese Communist Party is helping fund their effort. Critics of TikTok, they've claimed the popular social media app, which is owned by Chinese parent company ByteDance, could push pro-Beijing propaganda on its platform or hand over data from this country to the Chinese government. All valid points. And Greg Abbott in Texas had been out on the forefront of this thing, fighting to shut up TikTok on Texas's cell phones and more. And now they're being sued. Something tells me this is going to keep on going through the legal system for quite some time in the Lone Star State. And congratulations to an Atlanta winner. I'm talking about a big winner. Daniel Weinmann, the 35-year-old, beat out more than 10,000 players to secure the title of the World Series of Poker's main event champion. He won $12 million, which was the largest in the World Series of Poker's long history. He beat out all of those players, 10,035 players in all, to win this thing. The final poker table took 10 days to complete, and this man from Atlanta won. He's a former Georgia Tech student, so to hell with Georgia there. smart guy. This former Tech student won his first tournament back in 2010. And what a great, great win. This year's final table was one of the shortest in the tournament's history, taking only 164 hands. If you're a poker player, I guess you know what he's talking about. I have no idea. I'm not a poker player. Daniel Weinmann, Atlanta's own, at 35 years old, now got the $12,100,000 grand prize as the winner of the World Series of Poker's main event. A great, great win. And for that, Daniel, I hope you go over to Bobby Dodd Stadium and pick up a couple of season tickets to see those Yellow Jackets in 2023. They need your support. They got a new coach this year, a new old coach. He was the fill-in coach last year after Jeff Collins got axed halfway through a disastrous campaign as head coach, and now a former Georgia Tech player leading that program. And now with $12 million in your bank account, Mr. Daniel, you could have a little inspiration for the white and gold if you'd like to pass it along. Congratulations. And that is that's a look at some of the news headlines here across the Southeast during the second hour of our Southern broadcast. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, I guess. When the Y'all Show comes right back, we're going to fill you in on the new Southern books, another Georgian in the news. We're going to go to Dalton. That's where you'll find the hometown of Johnny Joey Jones. He's got a book in the top five of the New York Times bestsellers. And we're going to discuss his new book, Unbroken Bonds of Battle, in our Southern Book Report. And it's coming up next.
She never cried when old Yeller died. She wasn't washed in the blood of the Lamb. She never stood up for the Star Spangled Banner, and she wasn't a John Wayne fan. Her baby blue eyes had the warning signs. That woman was bad to the bone. She never cried when old Yeller dies. Do you think I'll cry when she's gone? So desperate I answered an ad in the personals, hoping to find me a date. A good-looking, non-smoking, full-figured Leo was looking to find her a mate. We hit it off, we got it on. My love was growing so strong. Then I started seeing a side of that woman I should have seen all along. Star
That's a great band out of the Chattanooga area, East Tennessee, North Georgia, Confederate Railroad, and a great song from back in the 90s, She Never Cried. And if she ain't crying when Old Yellow died, you don't need her. Take it from me, Danny Shirley. We're back here on the Y'all Show, and speaking of the Chattanooga area, we've got a native of that area that's got a book in the top five of the New York Times bestsellers. I'm going to tell you about Johnny Joey Jones and his new read in just a moment, as this is our Southern Book Report for the week. John Rawl delivering the good stuff, the good reads for you here on the Y'all Show Tuesday edition. So let's dive into what NYT's bestsellers are this week. And if we look at the combined print and ebook fiction category, it's been out there for 2 weeks now. Get ready to hear this name more than once in our top five of the fiction category. Colleen Hoover's Too Late is the number one combined print and ebook fiction book on the NYT list. Too Late is about how dangers develop when a drug trafficker becomes obsessed with a woman who has a mutual attraction to a DEA agent. Colleen Hoover's Too Late, number one this week. This book's been out just over 2 months. It checks in at number two. It's Rebecca Yarros's Fourth Wing. Violet Sorengale is urged by the commanding general, who also is her mother, to become a candidate for the elite Dragon Riders. Again, this is in the fiction category of the NYT. And check that out at number two. That name, Colleen Hoover, is back. She's got the number three best-selling fiction book, It Ends With Us. This one's been out just about 2 years now on the top five list. A battered wife raised in a violent home attempts to halt the cycle of abuse in It Ends With Us from Colleen Hoover. Been out a month now. Ellen Hildebrand's The Five-Star Weekend checks in at number four. After a tragedy, a popular food blogger brings friends from distinct times in her life to spend a weekend in Nantucket. The Five-Star Weekend, it's the number four book on the combined print and ebook fiction category of the New York Times bestsellers list. And lastly, in our fiction category, checking in at number five, this one's been out just over 2 months, Happy Place by Emily Henry. A former couple pretend to be together for the sake of their friends during their annual getaway in Maine. Moving over to the nonfiction books, according to the New York Times and its bestsellers list, the number one book on the nonfiction category, Killers of the Flower Moon by David Gran. This one is number one, the story of a murder spree in 1920s Oklahoma that targeted Osage Indians whose lands contained oil. This is your number one book, according to the New York Times bestsellers list. Mr. Gran checks in at number two. He's got number one, Killers of the Flower Moon. He's got number two, The Wager. This one's been on the list about 2.5 months now. The Wager is about how the survivors of a shipwrecked British vessel on a secret mission during an imperial war with Spain have different accounts of events. The Wager at number two. Number three is a book that's been out just about 3 months. It's by Peter Attia and Bill Gifford. It's called Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity. Longevity, Outlive, a look at a recent scientific research on aging and longevity. Outlive, number three in the nonfiction category. Number four this week, this one's been out nearly 3 years on the bestsellers list, Bessel van der Kolk's The Body Keeps the Score, How Trauma Affects the Body and Mind, and Innovative Treatments for Recovery. And at number five this week, from Johnny Joey Jones, Unbroken Bonds of Battle, as the Fox News military analyst shares stories from working with veterans for over a decade. Joey Jones and his book, Unbroken Bonds of Battle. So we're going to give you a little bit more information on the Dalton, Georgia native, Johnny Joey Jones, in this book that has just come out. It's in hardcover. It's available also digitally. Broadside Books is the publisher of this thing. As Johnny Joey Jones, often called Joey Jones on Fox News Channel, he provides military analysis across all of the Fox News platforms, both on Fox News Channel and on Fox Nation and more. He also appears on Fox Business Network. He serves as a fill-in host for many of the most popular shows that Fox has. He also hosts Fox Nation Outdoors on that streaming service that Fox has. A Marine Corps veteran who entered the Marine Corps just out of high school, he reached the rank of staff sergeant. While serving in Afghanistan, Jones suffered a life-changing injury that resulted in the loss of both of his legs above the knee. And since his recovery more than a decade ago, Jones has dedicated himself to improving the lives of all veterans and their families. A native of Dalton, Georgia, that's in Northwest Georgia, Joey Jones, and I know if you've watched TV over the last few years, you see him on there, a very sharp-looking guy, and isn't bashful to show off his legs. He has prosthetics, as both of his legs, again, were lost above the knee. And he's been able to have a great broadcasting career over these last few years. I actually am curious how in the world he was even given a shot. He does a great job, to his credit. But how in the world did he even get a chance to be on Fox News Channel? Whoever picked him did a good job. Joey Jones. Joey Jones and this new book that's come out from him called Unbroken Bonds of Battle, Modern Warrior's Book of Heroism, Patriotism, and Friendship. Fox News Books has this as part of their imprint. And it just came out, and again, this was your number five book showing up on the New York Times combined print and ebook nonfiction category. Been out now 2 weeks. We found an interview that the Dalton native did in Chattanooga as he was just there promoting his book. This retired Marine and Fox News contributor is now a best-selling author, and he stopped by the TV program Let's Chat in Chattanooga to talk about this new book and more. And let's go in and hear a clip of his interview again with this local Chattanooga TV station talking about the new book that he's got out, Dalton, Georgia's own Joey Jones on the Y'all Show.
Yeah, so it's real simple. I go on television out of New York and we broadcast to people all over the country, and I always felt it my responsibility to bring, you know, for lack of a better term, a little bit of bacon grease to the opinions out there. I am from Northwest Georgia, and that includes East Tennessee. You know, we play football teams from here in high school. My friends live in East Ridge now instead of Georgia. So much about this area is monolithic in its culture and a part of who I am. And I don't think I would be successful in presenting a message to folks if I didn't represent who I am and where I'm from. Writing this book, Unbroken Bonds of Battle, several of the key people in the book that we highlight are from this area.
Oh, really?
And so when you look at the themes in the book, the culture that we have here, I don't know, you know, it's kind of trendy now to call it Appalachian or to call it, you know, or to just simply call it Southern hospitality. But so much of the character of people that are important to me, I think we get it right here.
Well, tell me about this book, a little bit about the message in it. Why now?
Yeah, so the book's called Unbroken Bonds of Battle, and that really is the key aspect of the book is we all have relationships in our lives that are instrumental in getting through adversity to the point sometimes we don't even see it or recognize it. And so writing this book, for me, I'd been told for years, hey, we'd really love to have your story canonized, your story. And so when people say that, a lot of times they mean my war story, getting injured, or the story of how do you go from the battlefield to working in television news. But for me, that story is encapsulated and presented through the lens of these 10 people that were important to my life. My best friend growing up that served with me, the Gold Star wife of the young man standing beside me who lost his life when I lost my legs, the mentors I've had as I've grown in my most recent career, all, 9 of them service members, 1 of them a Gold Star wife. So there's some tenets of our character that are similar, but they bring in new experiences and their own adversity to help me get through mine. So this book, why this book and why now? Because this book tells everyone that reads it, there are a handful of people in your life that are helping you get through it and you don't even realize it. That's a key tenet. And why now? It's a lot easier to find reasons to be mad at folks than to appreciate them. And I think when you read this book, you learn to look at the people in your life and say, you know what, I really do appreciate you.
That's a fantastic interview, again, from WDEF-TV in Chattanooga. That's Channel 12. That was Andy from that show, as Chip and Andy host Let's Chat. That's C-H-A-T-T, which is a show that airs 10 a.m. in the Chattanooga and Tennessee Valley area. This is a lifestyle and entertainment program, and they've got a YouTube channel there at Channel 12, WDEF, that we were able to find that great interview with Joey Jones, who grew up just south of Chattanooga, down in Dalton, GA, home of the Dalton Depot, one of my favorite restaurants in the world. I hope it's still going. I haven't been there in a few years. But Joey Jones, you know him from Fox News Channel, and he was just back in his home area appearing on a book tour as he's promoting his new book that is one of the best-selling books in the land right now, Unbroken Bonds of Battle, A Modern Warrior's Book of Heroism, Patriotism, and Friendship. And the hardcover out now. You can get it digitally as well. And a great read by a great Southerner. Congratulations on this new read, Joey Jones, the retired Marine Corps Staff Sergeant, who again lost both of his legs in Afghanistan and took that tragedy now to be a rising superstar in media, in conservative media for sure, and now with a best-selling book, Johnny Joey Jones is getting it done in printed form as well. This is not, according to Amazon, his first published book. He had a book called Blown Away, The Story of Staff Sergeant Joey Jones. It's a coloring book that he's credited with being a co-writer on, so he's gone now from coloring book to now this Unbroken Bonds of Battle. I guess you could call this his first real book, but kudos, Sergeant Jones of Northwest Georgia, for this impressive professional read that you've got out there for people to check out. And I encourage everybody, this is one of the good books from one of the good people and a man who sacrificed a lot for our freedoms, Joey Jones. And that wraps up our Southern Book Report here for Hour 2. When we come back, we're going to move over to giving you more entertainment headlines. It's our weekly look at all the big entertainment stories of the week and more. And that's coming up right here on the Y'all Show. If you want to drop us an email, mail@y'all.com is how you can do just that. We want to hear you here at Super Talk 93.1 on shows like The Y'all Show, The Patriot Pastor, and The Frankie Lack Show. We've got a text line that you can text us and participate in the program. That number, 731-410-7560. And the Super Talk 93.1 text line is powered by See Me Tree Service. They are a West Tennessee-based company, and they will help you with any of your tree removal problems, tree trimming, tree elevation, pruning, tree topping, stump grinding, and more. They're a small family-owned business that's licensed and insured, and you can call See Me Tree Service for a free estimate. Call them at 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service. For all of your tree removal or tree issues going on, give them a call for that free estimate. 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service, powering the Super Talk 93.1 text line.
So he won't see that I want and I'm needing everything that we should be. I'll bet she's beautiful, that girl he talks about, and she's got everything that I have to live without. True talks to me, I laugh cause it's just so funny that I can't even see anyone when he's with me. He says he's so in love, he's finally got it right. I wonder if he knows he's all I think about at night. He's the reason for the teardrops on my guitar, the only thing that keeps me alive. ocean star. He's a song in the car I keep singing, don't know why I do.
All right, let's give you a report on the Yankee girl, Taylor Swift, who spent some time in Hendersonville, Tennessee, so we're going to give her a little love. It's our Y'all Show Entertainment Report here for this Tuesday edition, and congratulations to all the Swifties out there, as Taylor Swift has overtaken Barbara Streisand for the most number one albums from a female artist in all of recorded history. Her Speak Now is her 12th number one album, and the collection nabbed the most successful first week this year on the charts. Taylor Swift, again, is your most impressive female from an album standpoint in all of history. Speak Now accumulated 716,000 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending July 13th. Impressive, impressive numbers for this young lady. And she actually has put a post out saying, "It fills me with such pride and joy to announce that my version of Speak Now will be out July 7th. I first made Speak Now completely self-written between the ages of 18 and 20. The songs that came from this time in my life were marked by their brutal honesty, unfiltered diaristic confessions," that's a big word there, "and wild wistfulness. I love this album because it tells a tale of growing up, flailing, flying, and crashing, and living to speak about it." She's added six extra songs to this. And again, Speak Now is her newest record. And the big news this week is that Swift has overtaken Barbara Streisand for the most number one albums from a female artist in history. Her 12th number one album for Taylor Swift. All right, Swifties, go out and celebrate. Well, that's a pretty impressive feat for her. And she's still got so much talent and so much time in her early 30s now to make that number double, if not triple, before she calls it a career. If she ever calls it a career. Taylor Swift news right here to start off our entertainment report of this hour of the Y'all Show. Now, other entertainment headlines. Let's tell you about Northern Kentucky's own George Clooney. I know he spent most of his time in Cincinnati across the river, but he has some Northern Kentucky roots. And Clooney now says the entertainment industry is at an inflection point as he's out picketing alongside other actors with this new actors' strike. Clooney calling for change as actors have hit the picket lines in their first strike against film and TV studios since way back in 1980. In a statement to CNN Friday, the ever-talented Clooney saying that actors and writers in large numbers have lost their ability to make a living. For our industry to survive, that has to change. For actors, that journey starts now. Ted Lasso star Emmy nominee Jason Sudeikis was spotted in New York the other day protesting. I don't know if Clooney has gone out and joined the picket line. But there are a lot of famous faces now joining both the actors and the writers as both groups protesting the studios, wanting more money, and the studios want more money too. You still have to not feel so terrible for the Clooneys and Sudeikises of the world with the amount of money they actually make. They're protesting, trying to make others involved in filmmaking and TV shows a little bit more along their lines from a pay standpoint. A guy with a connection to Georgia, Ty Pennington, in the news. He says he went from the red carpet to the ICU amid a recent health scare. Ty Pennington was at the Barbie premiere, and 2 days after that, he had a health complication. The 58-year-old has put some photos from him being in the ICU. Ty Pennington wants to thank the amazing staff at St. Anthony's in Lakewood, Colorado, for taking great care of him. I'm trying to find out exactly what happened to him, but he ended up having a hard time breathing and had to be intubated. But he's doing better now. Ty Pennington, the home improvement guy that's been on TV a long, long time with the Extreme Makeover Edition. And again, has connections to the South. We wish him a speedy recovery, Mr. Pennington. Now, she's not really Southern, but bless her heart, Lindsay Lohan, the Mean Girls actor, has a new baby. She welcomed a new son with husband Bader Shammas. Shammas is a financier, and they got a new son named Lui. The actress announced a few months ago that she was going to be a mother, and she is now a mom. She and Shammas got engaged back in 2021, and she is now experiencing the joys of motherhood. This is their first child together. Lindsay Lohan, the redhead, the lady that's been in the news for a long time for being a bad girl. And now she's a good mommy, it looks like. So we wish her well, Lindsay Lohan, with a new baby boy. Other entertainment headlines. An update on Lisa Marie Presley's death. It looks like she died of complications from a prior weight loss surgery. That according to reports from an autopsy of the Memphis, I think she was born in Memphis, Memphis-born daughter of Elvis Presley. As her death was caused by, quote, a sequel of a small bowel obstruction. A small bowel obstruction is a blockage in the small intestine, often because of things like scar tissue or a hernia or cancer. And without surgery, it can cause bowel tissue to die or perforate, which leads to death. And now that's being attributed for this small bowel obstruction that caused the death in her early 50s of Lisa Marie Presley, the only daughter of Elvis and Priscilla Presley. She died after being hospitalized after an apparent heart attack back on January 12th. The 54-year-old passing away, and she left behind three surviving daughters. Her son committed suicide a few years back. And that, of course, all been documented about the tragedy within the Presley family. But it looks like it was obviously a unfortunate and unexpected death for Lisa Marie Presley earlier this year, dying from complications from a prior weight loss surgery. Now to some country music news. Miranda Lambert, she's a bit sassy. We like that about her. We like her sassy music. Well, she got sassy on stage over the weekend when some people were interrupting her performance, taking selfies. And while performing in Las Vegas Sunday, she stopped her show mid-song and said, quote, "I'm going to stop right here for a second," while she was in the middle of singing Tin Man. And she said, quote, "These girls are worried about their selfie and not listening to the song, and it's pissing me off a little bit. I don't like it at all." Miranda Lambert continued, "We're here to hear some country music tonight. I'm singing some country damn music. Shall we start again?" The audience there in Vegas showed support for the Grammy winner, applauding her remarks. And I think she started back over. How about that? How would you like to be those fans that got called out by Miranda Lambert? Woo! Woo, you don't want to do that. But you would think a big star like Miranda Lambert wouldn't even be fazed by people interrupting her while she's up there. You got to have some thick skin, you'd think. I know that a family member of mine was at a Thomas Rhett concert over the weekend and was right on the front row, and he had to make a big point of sending that out on his Instagram reel. And yeah, it looked like he was taking a selfie. Thomas Rhett did not seem to matter one bit. Of course, that's the difference between Thomas Rhett and good old East Texas girl Miranda Lambert, maybe. Jason Aldean says he's feeling a lot better now after he had heat exhaustion over the weekend at a Connecticut concert. So great news for the Georgia native. And he put out on social media that they've had a lot of people checking on him. And after hearing about what happened, that he's doing fine. Had a little heat exhaustion. I understand he played golf prior to his concert over the weekend, and that may be what led to him being dehydrated. And he received two IVs following this heat exhaustion in Connecticut, where temperatures got up to 89 degrees, and it certainly affected the country music singer out of the Peach State, Jason Aldean. That wraps up our entertainment headlines for this hour. That wraps up hour two of the Y'all Show. Hang tight. When the Y'all Show comes back, Jerry Short will be here in hour three. He's got a little political discussion to share with us. Is Joe Manchin really running for president in 2024? How will that affect others? We'll have a complete discussion as our Takapola storyteller is going to be with us. Plus, we've got an update from Nashville. It's the SEC Media Days Round 1 recap. We'll have all that in hour three, so hang on. All you folks out there in radio land and podcast land, we are the Y'all Show. We've got our final hour for this Tuesday packaged and coming at you right now. John Rawl, the general of all things Southern, your friendly host, thanking you for tuning us in on great radio stations and podcast platforms. Those podcast platforms of which you can go find this show absolutely free of charge. Those podcast platforms include Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app. We're also available in Apple Podcast and Apple iTunes. All of those podcast choices are free, and you just find our Y'all Show by going on those choices and searching Y'all Show, and we'll be right there. Our beautiful red and black logo will be staring at you right there, and you just click subscribe or like or follow or whatever the option is. And each and every day when we have a new Y'all Show podcast available, it will show up magically in your podcast inbox, making it easy for you to stay on top of what's going on in the southern states. We cover Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia. We do it through a coverage of news, sports, politics, opinion. We've got food, we've got travel, we've got entertainment news, and so much more. A lot of history, too. There's no show like the Y'all Show, so we appreciate you listening, and if you could do us a solid, please share it with others. If you know fellow Southerners, then please let them know that we exist, and you can find our show also at y'all.com, the South's homepage, and it keeps score of all of our episodes. We now have more than 600 episodes of the Y'all Show to our credit. And all those can be found in the various podcast options as well as y'all.com. Thank you so much for being a part of our program. In this final hour of our Tuesday edition, coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by the Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short. And we're going to get a little modern with Jerry as Monday, Joe Manchin, the U.S. Senator from the mountain state of West Virginia, found himself not in West Virginia, but in New Hampshire, as he's kind of flirting with the idea of running for president as a third-party candidate. Jerry Short will be here. We'll talk about Manchin's decision to go to New Hampshire and what would a third-party race mean in the 2024 campaign. All that political talk coming up with our Takapola storyteller in the next segment. Before we get out of here today, our final segment includes a recap of day one of the SEC Media Days, as on Monday you had LSU, Missouri, and you had Texas A&M all at the mic with players and coaches alike. In this coverage of the SEC Media Days this hour, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, Eli Drinkwitz, as well as the head coach of the Aggies of Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. Clips from both of those coaches coming up as we have your day one coverage and preview day two, which is going on today And among the fun of day two, Auburn at the mic and Mississippi State. So we'll have all that right here this hour of the Y'all Show. You can drop us an email anytime. Our email address is mail, M-A-I-L, mail at y'all, Y-A-L-L dot com. We would love to hear from all of y'all. Let's start off with a few headlines before we get over to our Takapola storyteller and a tragic story out of Corpus Christi, Texas, as over the weekend on Highway 35 north of Corpus Christi, a woman and her unborn child died after the truck they were in hit an alligator on this Texas highway. And that truck ended up rolling, and this woman rushed to the hospital, died of her injuries. She was from Louisiana. The pregnant woman, Gabrielle Bro of the Pelican State, dying at an area hospital around Corpus Christi. Two adults and three children also involved in this rollover, transported to nearby hospitals. Unfortunately, again, the Louisiana woman, Miss Bro, dying as well as her unborn child. Our thoughts with that family. An alligator in the road caused this truck to hit it and roll over. Just got to be so careful. This happened on a Sunday morning in Refugio County in Texas, in the Corpus Christi area. Our thoughts there with that family. Also in our headlines from across the Southeast, the Round Mound Rebound is having something to say about Bud Light, and he's having to say something in a very expletive way. Charles Barkley going out on TikTok and calling out a lot of you here in the South, maybe even me, as he's coming to the defense of Bud Light in a strong message for this past weekend. I think Charles had been under the influence of a few Bud Lights. He got on TikTok, and said, quote, "Hey, let me tell you something. All you rednecks or ass, you know what, who don't want to drink Bud Light, blank y'all. Hey, y'all can't cancel me. Hey, I ain't worried about getting canceled because let me tell you something. If y'all fire me and give me all that money, I'm going to be playing golf every blank day. So listen, as I said last night, if you're gay, God bless you. If you're trans, God bless you. And if you have a problem with them, blank you." All that from the Round Mound of Rebound. I think he's out of Leeds, Alabama. Charles, Sir Charles Barkley, putting it in the eye of all the conservative people who've been boycotting Bud Light the last couple of months after Dylan Mulvaney came out, a transgender influencer, promoting Bud Light. And they've caught a lot of flack. In fact, in the 4 weeks ending June 17th, Bud Light's U.S. retail sales have gone down 26% compared with the same period a year ago. The number one beer in the land is now Modelo Especial. Bud Light really struggling after this decision by Bud Light to put this transgender person front and center. And now, after some weeks after they've tried to get past this, here comes Charles Barkley, who may be a Bud Light spokesperson. If not, he ought to be. There's a chance that he may be hurting Bud Light's calls to try to get this behind him. But yes, on video on TikTok, Sir Charles at a California bar where he had bought a round of drinks before he presented this thing. Like I said, I think he was a few Bud Lights into the fun. When I don't think he was kidding, though. I really don't. You'll have to see this for yourself from Sir Charles Barkley. A story out of Texas, as TikTok is now implemented by the Governor Abbott of Texas, a ban on TikTok on official devices of Texas, including government phones and those phones in state higher education. There's a ban on official devices. And a First Amendment group called the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, this free speech group out of New York, suing on behalf of a coalition of academics and researchers who study technology's impact on society. And they're coming after Governor Greg Abbott and others over this official TikTok ban in the Lone Star State. The suit said the state's decision to restrict access to TikTok on official devices, as well as on personal devices used to conduct state business, is comprising teaching and research, and more specifically, it said, was seriously impeding faculty pursuing research into the app, including research that could illuminate or counter concerns about TikTok. Now, critics of this social media app have claimed that this popular social media app, which is owned by the Chinese and its parent company, ByteDance, critics have said that it could push pro-Beijing propaganda on TikTok or hand important user data from this country over to China and its government. TikTok has long said that it hasn't handed over any U.S. data to the Chinese government and says it wouldn't do so if asked. Okay, you believe them? Do you? Well, do you, punk? But Greg Abbott now in Texas being sued by a bunch of free speech people trying to make sure that Texan folks that have official government phones and those who use their personal phones to do official business for the state of Texas and its public universities want to make sure they can still use TikTok. I find this is me likely saying more than I should. I find that most TikTok videos are nothing more than people trying to be comedians, and they're trying to outdo each other with their goofiness and silliness. Lots and lots and lots of, I'm sorry to stereotype, lots and lots of young women who are trying to be both sexy and funny at the same time. And therefore, they do get a lot of views. And because of that, I guess they can monetize their fame on TikTok. But there are so many people that become addicted to this thing and have taken TikTok more seriously than the Facebooks and Instagrams. I'm not a TikToker. I don't even have it on my phone. Greg Abbott in Texas, you ought to be happy that John is kind of a good Texan in terms of I'm fitting in from what you want. I don't have TikTok. Could you make me kind of like Kentucky as an honorary colonel? Maybe I could be an honorary Texas Ranger. I wonder if they give those kind of titles. Maybe I'll get a big old cowboy hat and be official Texas wannabe. Growing up, I didn't like Texas. I, as a guy growing up on the eastern seaboard, I just thought Texas was a million miles away. And so when you thought of Texas, you thought of those darn Dallas Cowboys. You thought about Longhorn cows. And you thought about the desert. Little did I know until I got to be older and could travel to the Lone Star State that it's actually a very nice place. Especially my favorite parts would be the parts that are more like the rest of the South, East Texas. Love Tyler. Love up around Texarkana. I'm a fan of Dallas. I think it's a pretty neat place. Not spent a lot of time around Houston, but I've been to Galveston. And it's fairly nice outside of having to look at the oil platforms while on the beach. But Texas is a fantastic place. And so don't take it from me. Take it from others. Go have a good time in Texas. Just make sure you don't have a cell phone that's got TikTok, or Greg Abbott will be coming after you. How about this Atlanta man? He's got a cool $12,100,000 to his bank account now. Daniel Weinmann, the 35-year-old, beat out more than 10,000 players to win the World Series of Poker's main event this week. The $12 million man, the largest prize in the World Series of Poker's main event history. Again, topping more than 10,000 other players, the largest player pool ever. A former Georgia Tech student, Daniel Weinmann, the final table took 10 days. Weinmann, no stranger to professional poker tournaments. He won his first tournament back in 2010, but this main event's grand prize almost tripled his previous career earnings. It's So he'd already won a couple of million dollars before this one. This year's final table was one of the tournament's shortest in history, taking only 164 hands. But the Atlantan winner of the WSOP World Series of Poker's main event and 12 mil going to the 35-year-old Peach Stater and Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech man. Congratulations. That wraps up our news headlines for this final hour of our discussion of what goes on in the Southeast on this Tuesday. When we come back, our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short, is going to be joining us, and we're going to turn our attention to modern-day talk. Monday, Joe Manchin of West Virginia found himself in New Hampshire as he's playing footsie with potentially running for president as a third-party contender in 2024. Is he serious? Is this really going to be a smart move? Is it going to help others if he indeed jumps into the presidential campaign? All that discussion coming up with Jerry Short in the next segment of our show. Before we get out of here today in our final segment, we're going to turn our attention back to Nashville as day one of SEC Media Days went down on Monday. And we've got audio coming in from the head coaches of Missouri, and that would be Eli Drinkwitz, and of Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, as Aggieland is ready for 2023 to kick off so they can quickly forget and flush away 2022, a disaster there for the maroon and white. And we'll hear both Drinkwitz and Fisher from Nashville on Monday, plus a preview of what to expect on day two of SEC Media Days. That's coming up in our final segment of this The Y'all Show. So hang on, more of The Y'all Show is coming right up. You don't want to miss it. Again, you can drop us an email any old time, mail@yall.com. And y'all and Jerry Short will be right back after this. We're back on Y'all Talk of the Nashville on all things Southern. And time now to bring on our good pal, the Takapola storyteller, one Jerry Short. Jerry, how you doing?
Man, I'm hanging in here.
Getting through the hot summer month of July.
Yeah, it's been hotter than it has been today. But, you know it's not going to last long. Yeah. It'll be hot.
It's getting hot politically, and that's what we're going to focus on, modern politics with you here in this segment of our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short. Did you hear about Joe Manchin going up to New Hampshire Monday?
No, I didn't. He's surely not getting ready to change over or pull our leg again, huh?
Well, he's flirting with possibly running for president.
I did hear we had another one that might run.
So he had this third-party unity ticket that possibly is forming. And at a town hall in New Hampshire on Monday, Joe Manchin of West Virginia went to that thing, and this third-party unity ticket is trying to become a player in the 2024 presidential election. And it's going to be part of a no-labels town hall. That was what was held Monday in this early voting state of New Hampshire. So Joe Manchin, who has definitely kind of crisscrossed a lot over his time in office, is he possibly going to be a third-party candidate? I'll ask you about that, and then we're going to talk to Jerry Short, our Takapola storyteller, about third-party candidates in general, especially now in 2024 for the upcoming race. So what do you think? Is he really flirting with running?
You know, he's a hard guy to figure out. One day he's on one plane, and the next day he's on another one. I don't know if he's going east or west half the time. So he's living in a really conservative state. He's a senator from West Virginia is as bad as Mississippi as far as conservatism goes in the eyes of the Democrats.
In the 2020 election, I do believe West Virginia may have led the country for the percentage vote for Trump. If they weren't first, they were only behind Oklahoma.
Yeah, he was behind Oklahoma. They were behind Oklahoma, I think, because Oklahoma has never voted a Democratic county even.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm moving to Oklahoma.
It sounds like a good place to me.
Yeah. So Manchin flirting with this idea. Do you think he's also possibly just doing this to get attention?
Well, he likes attention, it seems like. He seems like he always comes out of the woodwork at some of the most opportune or unopportunist times. So I would say a little bit of both there. He's hard to figure out. I doubt he'll run for anything. He won't change parties. He would be probably, like I think you said, independent. If he would run for something, I would expect it to be an independent. You know, they've already got another gentleman, I think, in that category, ex-professor. But, you know, we'll see. That's all I can say to that one. We'll just find out if he can be for real or if he can lead you down the trail of, hey, maybe this time, but this time don't always seem to come.
Talking with our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short, here as we focus on the 2024 election and possibly a third party candidate jumping in the race. So over the weekend, I was watching, believe it or not, a clip from MSNBC, and I can't think of his last name. I know his first name, I think, is Rick. He is a anti-Trump guy. He used to be with the Jeb Bush deal. He is based out of Tallahassee, and he often appears on MSNBC. And he told the folks Sunday that Donald Trump has already captured the Republican ticket for 2024. This is a guy who hates Trump, but he's already saying that Trump's already got this thing sewn up.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far or not. You know, a lot can happen yet in a year. And, you know, it's just a lot of things yet to unfold. You know, we got wars going on around the world. We got conflicts with dang China, and we got Russia, and we got Ukraine, and then we got what's going on in every major city in America, and we've got what's going on with the woke community, and we've got our military and the situation it's in. So, I mean, you know, I don't think anything is etched in stone. I think it's all can be erased.
Rick Wilson is who I was trying to find.
Yeah,
out,
he's a bald-headed gentleman,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, bald-headed. He's on there a lot. And, and then there's another guy, that Stewart, that's on a lot of times with him. Stewart has connections to Mississippi. He also is a Trump hater. And I think together, both of those were a big part. They were founders of the Lincoln Project.
Yeah, I think he is in that group. And I don't know how anybody from Mississippi could be a Trump hater.
Well, that guy certainly is.
Kind of shocks me that there would be anybody that grew up knowing what our values should be.
I don't know if he grew up in Mississippi, but he's got Mississippi connections. He actually wrote a book about taking his dad to Ole Miss football games.
Oh, well, there's been a few liberals sitting in the stadium at Oxford.
Yeah. So these two guys, Lincoln Project guys, whenever Rick Wilson essentially said that Trump's already got the Republican thing sewn up, Stewart, sitting beside him during the interview, didn't say anything. So are the liberals already admitting, and the Trump haters, that Trump's going to get the Republican nod for 2024? It sure sounds like it. And so coming back to this third party thing, Jerry, these guys both said if there's a third party candidate, it's going to only help Donald Trump.
Oh, that's what I was going to say a while ago. I mean, the more votes you take away from that other side, the more it's going to equalize in percentage-wise. Now, you know, does that get you how far? If they stay in all the way through the general election? Sure. I mean, however many votes become as close as they've been in the last election, you know, it wouldn't take a lot. It wouldn't take 5% probably to pull away. And 5% could easily be had, especially with someone like your West Virginia senator.
And these two guys on MSNBC also crediting the Electoral College for the fact that just a little pulling away, as you were mentioning, is all you need to win the Electoral College.
Yeah, that kind of worries me about Iowa, where Trump has kind of stepped in it up there and said a few things against their
governor. Do you know what he said?
Governor. No, I really don't. I've just heard, you know, all I've been getting is a tail end of that story. But I do know that I did also hear that all the Republican elected officials in Iowa were changing over, and they were turning against Donald Trump. And they're pulling for DeSantis, I think,
Yes. Well, Ron DeSantis has already come out and said that he would consider the governor of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, as a possible running mate.
Yeah.
And that follows the attack, or what some call out an attack that Trump put on Governor Kim Reynolds the other day.
Well, right, and I figure that, you know, DeSantis, he also said he would not consider vice president. He says he's presidential material, that he's not vice presidential material. And then the next thing he does, he goes and considers a female running mate who is a governor of Iowa. So, and he's kind of laying out a platform for a man with 20% of approval right now. You know, and he gets on down to the rest of them aren't even going to qualify for the debate. They don't have enough backing. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough donations. It's going to be, how many is out there now? About 13, 14?
Yeah.
You know, be lucky to get six of them in a debate. And Donald Trump has zero business being in a debate with people with 3%, 4%, 5%.
He was rather coy over the weekend. He was interviewed by Fox News Channel's Maria Bartiromo, and he didn't necessarily commit. I don't know if you saw that interview done at his golf club, but Trump, by the way, going back to Kim Reynolds and the dust-up with the governor of Iowa the other day, this is where Trump got into trouble as last week on his Truth social media platform. The New York Times had recently reported that he became frustrated with what he perceived to be the governor's embrace of Ron DeSantis. So Trump goes on his Truth social and puts the following statement: "I opened up the governor position for Kim Reynolds, and when she fell behind, I endorsed her, did big rallies, and she won. Now she wants to remain neutral? I don't even invite her to events," is what he said. So he, again, it kind of goes back to one of our problems that we've got with Donald Trump. If we have any problem with him, he's got very thin skin.
He's mighty thin-skinned, and I actually think the details to that story of the governor of Iowa actually doesn't exactly go that way. I think they had a governor that stepped down at about the same time or didn't run, and she got kind of in that position where it was just kind of handed to her, and he took credit for it. Donald Trump did.
Well, remember the former governor of Iowa, the longtime governor of Iowa, actually left his position as governor to go be Trump's ambassador to China.
That's how she became the governor. And he took credit for it. Where he actually, what he did, he made the ambassador to China. It's kind of like Nikki Haley. You know, kind of the same scenario. Like he's made a lot of these people, gave them jobs, and now they've all turned on him.
Well, she didn't really turn on him. She just didn't.
Well, when you run against someone, you know, you're kind of like.
She just hasn't given him a full-throttled embrace yet, and that's smart on her part. We're still early in this process.
Yeah, we're real early. I mean, you know, we're so early, I've never seen it like this early before. Usually you're just mentioning two or three names, and you're just kind of on hold waiting. But it's not that way this time. You know, every time you look up, that's all the media has to talk about. They're showing polls. They're showing percentages. They're showing who's leading in this poll, who's leading in that poll, and stuff like that. And we never had this before in all my years of going back to Truman and Eisenhower.
And on the Iowa side, remember that Trump, it sounds like, has really ticked off a lot of the power players in Republican Party in politics in the – what is Iowa?
Hawkeye
State.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that he's ticked off a lot of people. Even if Trump loses Iowa in the primary, as they're the first ones up on the Republican side, you hardly ever win Iowa if you're going to be the actual nominee.
If you just had to mention that doggone Electoral College, you know, you may need those 7-8 electoral votes.
Yeah, when the general election. I'm talking about for primary purposes.
But it can get there, you know. So, you know, don't cut your nose off to spite your face.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I'm saying.
And Trump, again, it comes back to having thin skin.
His
biggest fault, in my opinion, is the fact that there's a little bit of that narcissism that goes on with him.
I can see that because I've got a little of that in me. You know, you can get really teed off at somebody and maybe overload your mouth, you know, and you can't back it up sometimes. And you may turn off people that you don't expect to turn off. And that can really happen, too. And evidently that's what's kind of happened in Iowa. I don't know how many electoral votes they have in Electoral College. I'm assuming it's somewhere around 8, 9, something like that, because Mississippi's got 2.5 million people with 7. No, mm-hmm. We're down to 6, aren't we? See, that's all we got, 6. So you don't even want to lose those 6.
Well, that's more than Wyoming's got.
Yeah, 3, 1, 1, that's right. And Montana's got about 2 or 3 or 1 or 2. I think it's 2. You know, a lot of those states, it's like your popular vote. Actually, when you break it down to a percentage, you may be getting 1/25th of a vote
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to electing a president. And that's very possible in this Iowa thing. I don't want to lose whatever Electoral College vote that we'd get out of that. Of course, they would go, well, I'm not going to say they'd go Republican. Just because they've had a Republican governor doesn't mean that they would go Republican. But you never know.
Well, look what happened in Kansas.
I know.
They've got a Democratic governor now, and that's a very Republican state.
Well, think about North Carolina. You never know there. It switches back and forth. And I can understand Virginia sitting on the back door of Washington, D.C., but, you know, it can change overnight. And that's the reason I'm saying that, Trump may have 60% or whatever they're going to give him, or 58% or 59%, but, hey, we got 10, 11 months to go, and that's a long time, 12, 13 months maybe. Yeah.
Talking with Jerry Short, the Takapola storyteller, doing a little modern political discussion with Dr. Short here on today's Y'all Show. So if indeed Joe Manchin, and there was actually talk where Monday he was appearing with the former governor of Utah, Huntsman, who also, I think, was part of the Trump administration, as he was an ambassador with the Trump administration somewhere in Asia. I think it was maybe Japan.
Yeah, one of the Asian countries.
I think it might have been Japan. So are they flirting, one or both of those guys, with possibly running for office? Jerry, you and I both were around in 1992. That's the closest we've come to having a legitimate third party possibly win the White House.
Absolutely, Perot.
And Perot did about all you could do to get that.
Perot was close. I mean, he was like, 18, 19, 20%?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's pretty doggone close. And, you know, some of the stuff that come out on him, I'm sure they would spin it any kind of way they could. They almost had him sounding like a lunatic, and he still got that. And he's saying space aliens came to his daughter's wedding and all kind of crazy stuff that they were putting out on Perot. But Perot had enough money and enough backing. Hey, there's not a more liberal place in the world than Austin, Texas. I've
Come
spent
on,
time
now.
There.
I want to believe you, but
if it gets any more liberal
than San Francisco?
Well, I didn't say in the woke situation. I'm talking about politically. They're one of the worst it is.
Why is that? I know it's a college town.
It's a college town, and, of course, they've had trouble there. You remember the tower shooting where so many were killed back years ago. And it's always been a little problem right in that area. And they seem to, when they go to, it's kind of like college, I guess, and the college towns may end up in that. But when they end up in a town like Austin, Texas, they just almost, think they're too big for their britches, to bring back an old statement from the old days. They get to thinking they're bigger than they are. And Texas is big, it's huge, but it's got a lot of land. I spent a lot of time in Texas. You know, during their oil days and their oil rush and all that kind of stuff, and they got all this going on and the mineral rights and the selling and that and this. You know, that kind of built Texas. And now that we've got a President Biden in office that's doing away with that kind of industries that could be pulling them down and pulling them toward liberalism a little bit because of what the hard middle-class man has had to work and accomplished. So I'm thinking maybe that that causes a lot of Austin, the capital. You know, if you were to watch Karl Rove, I mean, he's as liberal as they become.
Okay. I won't disagree that he may not be the most conservative, but I can't imagine he's that liberal. I do think he's a knucklehead.
His
whole trick of getting George W. Bush elected in 2000, that's over 20 years ago. His shtick's over with.
But he don't think so. And even Fox now, they still believe in him. You know, he's gonna be like Beck, and he's going to get up there with a chalkboard, and he's going to start, you know, he's always got his little board in his hand, and he's going to be drawing this stuff out, and he's going to be giving these percentages that you learn in the third and fourth grade that anybody with any common sense would know. And, heck, he's not always right, but they mark him down as right, a lot of these political backers on our so-called conservative network.
Look, when I'm wanting a political consultant and I want to go to somebody who I can verify and believe in, that would be LSU's own James Carville.
Now, James Carville, now, he's living in Mississippi now.
Is he?
Yeah, he moved over to Bay St. Louis. He sold a house in the Garden District in New Orleans. And he bought an ex-musician's place, Pete Fountain's house.
Oh, did he?
Over in Bay St. Louis after a hurricane had knocked most of it away. So they built it back, and I heard James say that, hey, I'm not a Mississippian. I'm just living over here because it's only 30 minutes to New Orleans. We're still New Orleans people. You know, we're Louisiana, New Orleans. Because you can tell by he's got an LSU cap on every time
you see him.
Oh,
yeah, all the time.
I mean, I don't care how dressed up he is. I know he wears that to take communion and go to confession.
You think he's Catholic?
Oh, I would bet money he is, you know, because that's South Louisiana, and, you know, South Louisiana's predominantly Catholic. And his family, you know, they had the last
leper colony
anywhere just south of Baton Rouge. Yeah.
He's our Takapola storyteller, Jerry Short. So as we wrap up with this conversation talking modern politics, do you think Manchin's going to jump in here and run for president?
You know, if I was a betting guy, which I'm really not, just on what he's done in the past and his historic background in politics and what he's told his people of West Virginia, I would think no, but I'd still throw him a 50-50.
But he's going to wait.
He's going to wait.
He's
going
to wait. Time.
Yeah, he's going to keep you on the edge of your chair, so to speak. And, you know, he'll lead you down that path, and then he'll pull a seat out from under you, or he'll throw something at you that you totally don't expect.
A former West Virginia University quarterback, Joe Manchin.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Told me that. I didn't know that. I went and interviewed him at his office many years ago, and he had told me how that, I guess that's kind of how he got famous, because
people West Virginia,
Mountaineer fans know the name Joe Manchin.
Morganton,
West Virginia.
Yeah, I've been there, and it looks like where he would be from.
Yep. All right, Jerry Short, always a pleasure catching up with you here on the Takapola Storyteller when we get to talk politics especially.
Well, I enjoyed it, John. I just hope some of it comes true and some of it don't.
All right. We'll be right back as we continue on with this Tuesday edition of the show that shakes the Southland. We are Y'all, powered by Y'all.com, the South's homepage. We want to hear you here at Supertalk 93.1 on shows like The Y'all Show, The Patriot Pastor, and The Frankie Lack Show. We've got a text line that you can text us and participate in the program. That number, 731-410-7560. And the Supertalk 93.1 text line is powered by See Me Tree Service. They are a West Tennessee-based company, and they will help you with any of your tree removal problems, tree trimming, tree elevation, pruning, tree topping, stump grinding, and more. They're a small family-owned business that's licensed and insured, and you can call See Me Tree Service for a free estimate. Call them at 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service. For all of your tree removal or tree issues going on, give them a call for that free estimate. 731-617-2236. See Me Tree Service, powering the Supertalk 93.1 text line.
Hey, hooray, hurrah, Mizzou, Mizzou.
And the Missouri Tigers were among the three teams at the microphone Monday in Nashville as part of the day one festivities of SEC Media Days 2023, first time it was held in Nashville this year. And Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz was at the microphone, and we're going to go now to the main stage at SEC Football Media Days and listen in to the head coach of the mighty Mizzou talk about his program, as he does a great job each and every year that he appears at SEC Media Days, weighing in on his program, and usually has a little bit of a smart tongue and is a little bit smart alecky when addressing the media out there. So here is Coach Drinkwitz of Missouri from SEC Media Days, day one.
Yeah, we have a sign in our team room says, embrace your role, put the team first. And at the end of the season, it was clear to me that we were ineffective on the offensive side of the ball. And it starts with being retrospective on what do you do as the leader of the team, as the leader of the offensive side of the ball, what are the issues? And I wasn't giving us the best advantage that we could have offensively to be successful. And so it was my estimation that I needed to embrace my role more as the head coach and do the things that needed to be done there and turn over the play calling to somebody else. I do not plan on calling plays. I plan on being involved on the offensive side of the ball just like I am on special teams and on the defensive side of the ball as the CEO of the organization. But hired Kirby Moore, who's got a similar offensive vision and philosophy of I do, a low ego, high output guy who's got a great understanding of the pass game and play action, and is an absolute grinder, loves to watch tape, is a tremendous teacher, a low ego, high input kind of guy, and so look forward to working with him and the rest of the offensive staff to put our players in position to be successful. And you know, I tell him all the time, if we can just average one more touchdown a game, we're going to be in really happy at the end of the season. So we're in that constant quest to find one more touchdown. But I have no qualms about handing it over to somebody and feel like that Kirby will do an outstanding job for us.
All right, that was Coach Drinkwitz Monday at SEC Football Media Days, and it's very odd to hear him talking about one more touchdown and then a guy with the first name of Kirby, because as disastrous as most of the 2022 campaign was for Missouri last year, they came within a touchdown and should have won in that awesome opening month game they had with the Georgia Bulldogs. Missouri, I'm pretty sure, played Georgia better than any team in the entire 2022 year. And Mizzou absolutely had Georgia on the ropes. And unfortunately for Mizzou and for the rest of college football, Mizzou able to collapse, and Georgia got a miraculous victory there at Faurot Field in 2022. Perhaps the Tigers will get revenge this year between the hedges. That was Eli Drinkwitz, among the many things he said, talking about improving his team with some changes. He's letting go some of the play calling duties for himself in the 2023 campaign. Also at the stage on Monday, in addition to Missouri, you had LSU. You also had the Aggies of Texas A&M, who had a disastrous 5-7 campaign, lost to Appalachian State. Both Mississippi schools able to knock off the Aggies in 2023. A&M could not get that second win in a row against Alabama. The one highlight was, in the home finale, they knocked off a SEC championship-bound LSU Tiger team and really destroyed any chance LSU had of possibly getting into the playoff. I think LSU might have ended up being in a college football playoff had they had beaten A&M, and then they would have had to win in Atlanta with the conference championship game that they qualified for. Jimbo Fisher trying to get things fixed in Aggieland in this year's campaign. He's making a big move to try to do that. He's hired former Western Kentucky, former Missouri State, former Atlanta Falcon, former Louisville, and former Arkansas Razorback head coach Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino coming over to do the offensive play calling for the Aggies in 2023. Fisher at the podium Monday, pretty excited about getting a guy with Bobby Petrino's credentials. He might not ride a motorcycle very well, but he knows offense and Jimbo Fisher ask about Petrino and his addition to the Aggie staff, a guy that was a head coach, Bobby Petrino, just last year of Missouri State, now taking an assistant coach's job in the SEC for the Aggies. Here's Coach Fisher talking about his offense and more at day one of the SEC Media Days.
In which we have, but Bobby takes him. He runs those rooms and does those rooms. We're all now, but I'm in offensive rooms. I'm in defensive rooms all the time as a head coach. You have to be because you got what's going on. But great respect, like I say, Bobby's one of the best play callers, one of the best offensive minds in college football, has for a long time, and quarterback guys. So he and I have a great respect, great work ethic, and it's been wonderful so far. And then I'm not going to get into, from a schematic standpoint, of what's going on or that part of it, but it's went very well, and we're very blessed to have him.
All right, that was Jimbo Fisher. Some quick notes about having Bobby Petrino as part of his program. Day two of SEC Media Days happens today. We'll have audio from coaches and players on our Wednesday show. As far as who will be at the mic on day two, Vanderbilt's Clark Lee and a couple of his players will be coming down from West End to be on Lower Broadway. The defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs also at the microphone for day two, Kirby Smart and company. You got the new coach of the Auburn Tigers, Hugh Freeze, who was at Mississippi a few years back, then has been successful at Liberty, now on the plains leading Auburn, as Hugh Freeze will be representing Auburn on day two, as well as Zach Arnett, the new coach at Mississippi State, who takes over for the late Mike Leach. All that part of day two, we'll have complete coverage of that on our Wednesday Y'all show. It ought to be a lot of fun coming out of Music City here on this Tuesday. Well, that will wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Y'all Show. Thank you so much for being a part of the show that truly shakes the Southland. Why don't you say we do it again? And we will. Y'all.com is our website. It is the South's homepage, and it powers this program that's all about the South. Hey, y'all have a great rest of your day. This is John Rawl signing off of the Y'all Show. Thanks for listening.